we're going to jump right in. And this is a verse, I think it is the most preached verse for this year, not just by me, but others as well. John 16:33. And by the way, I'm going to use the New International Version some tonight. We're going to be looking at a longer passage of Scripture, and it just really says it in a clearer way. But we're going to begin with John 16:33. It says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world." In this world you're going to have trouble. That's right. That's the truth. Jesus said it. And he didn't say, if you go to church, if you're a Christian, if you read your Bible, if you pray, you won't have any trouble. No, he didn't say that. He told the disciples, and he's telling us, in this world, you're going to have some trouble. We all know that because we've all lived it, we've experienced, but he says to take heart or be of good cheer. He says, I have overcome the world. He's already won our victory. We may not see it yet. We may not feel it. But we need to remember that Jesus has already won our victory. He's already overcome the world. Now, that means that he's already overcome the circumstances of life. You ever felt like the weight of the world was pressing down on you sometimes? Well, guess what? He's already overcome that. You need to turn it over to him as he's already overcome it. Take heart. You know, sometimes it seems like life is just too much. He's already overcome it. Remember this verse from a few weeks ago, 1 Corinthians 15:57. "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Thanks be to God. This needs to be our attitude all the time. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't get a victory if you don't have a battle. So you're going to have some battles. You're going to have some trouble. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever we're going through, whatever we're facing, whatever battle might be before us, we need to remember that he gives us the victory. Now, if we really do that, it'll change the way we look at things. It'll change our attitude. It'll change our countenance and our confession. When you know you're going to win, it changes things. If you just know you're going to win, I mean, no matter how bad it is, no matter how great the struggle, if you absolutely know that you're going to win, oh, it changes things. We're going to go to Psalm 73, and this passage we're going to be reading from the NIV. Psalm 73, we're going to be here for a while until we go, okay? "Surely God is good to Israel." That's his people. "Surely God is good to us, his people, to those who are pure in heart." Now, that doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you're sincere. It means your heart is not mixed and divided. It means you're wholeheartedly after the Lord, pure in heart. Surely, it's a sure thing that God is good to us. Not a maybe if sort of kind of thing, but a sure thing. We need to get rid of the doubts that God is good to his people. Even on your worst day, God is still good. And he's still good to his people. It might not appear that way. Sometimes the circumstances of life certainly don't appear to be that way. But that's the truth, that God is good to his people. You know, sometimes we have questions and we don't have answers. But God is good. And he's still good to us. Verse 2, he says, "But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold." What is he talking about here? He's saying that he had almost given up. He had gotten to the place where he was just on the verge of giving up because his thinking was wrong. because he was looking at things the wrong way. His attitude wasn't right. He had allowed himself to begin to be focused on the circumstances. Verse 3, he says, "For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." You see, he was looking at other people. He said, "I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." He saw these people that they don't serve God. They're not doing right. And yet they're doing good. They seem to be prospering. And he says he envied the arrogant. And that's what happens when we get our eyes on other people, when we begin to compare, you know, we think, oh, well, they're doing good. This isn't fair. You know, when you see that, it's easy to get a bad attitude, especially if things are going wrong for you, while they seem to be going right for somebody that you think doesn't deserve it. That ungodly person, that person that did wrong. It's easy to get a bad attitude. It's easy to begin to think that life is unfair, and sometimes even be tempted to start thinking that God is being unfair. We can all fall into that trap if we allow our thinking to get messed up. We feel like we've done right, and we feel like we're being mistreated. Or worse yet, we feel like we've obeyed God, and yet everything's going wrong. And like little children, you know, little children get upset when the ball doesn't bounce their way. And we get upset and we cry not fair when our team gets a bad call from the referee, right? And we get all mad and upset about it. But what's much more than that, see, we're not talking about a game. No, this is talking about real life. And in real life, when things seem unfair, oh, it can be so hard. It can be so difficult for us to deal with and to handle and not get to the place where it's messing us up spiritually. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? And see, that wrong attitude, it'll mess you up spiritually. See, we see other people, they're not doing right. And we think we're doing good, we're trying to obey God, and yet we're having a hard time. Why am I having a hard time with my finances? Or why am I struggling with my health? Or why am I struggling with my kids? Whatever it might be, but we start wondering, we start questioning why this is happening to me, and we don't think life is being fair. Get a bad attitude. And here's how it starts a lot of the time. It's when you get your eyes on others. And not even always just the wicked. Sometimes it might even be our brothers and sisters in Christ, but we start comparing and we're looking at their lives and we're saying, well, why is it so easy for them? Why are they so blessed? Why is it so good for them? Why not me? Why? This isn't fair. And I've said this many times, but you know what? It needs to be said even more. You don't know what somebody else's battles are. You don't know what their struggles are. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know how it really is. You only know a little bit what you see. God sees it all. Sometimes we look at those in this world that just appear, it seems that they just get away with their sin. You ever wanted to question the Lord and just say, God, why don't you do something about all this wickedness, this, all the immorality and all the terrible things that people are doing? And God, why don't you just do something about it? Or maybe like the disciples, we want to call down fire on them. Has it ever made you angry even that the Lord was merciful? Well, you wouldn't be the first. Made Jonah angry. He preached repentance to the Ninevites. And guess what? They repented. And yet it made him so angry. He wanted God to destroy them, just like he had preached that he would. And those people messed it all up because they repented. They repented. And yet he was mad that God didn't destroy them. Oh, we need to keep our heart right. God is so merciful. Always remember, Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. He is merciful, but we should never think that God just turns a blind eye to sin. We should never think that God doesn't notice what's going on. We should never think that God's not going to make it all right in the end, because he will. Verse 4, he says, they have no struggles, their bodies are healthy and strong. They have no struggles. Really. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They're free from the burdens common to man. This guy, he's really struggling. Some of us are too. They're not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. Their callous heart come from iniquity. The evil conceits of their minds knows no limit. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? This is what the wicked are like, always carefree. They increase in wealth. This is what the wicked are like, always carefree. They increase in wealth. That's not what the rest of the Bible tells me. But this is what happens to a man or a woman when they get their eyes on the circumstances and they get their eyes on other people instead of keeping their eyes on God. I'm going to say it one more time. You don't know what other people are going through. You don't know what demons they face. There's a lot of people that put on a good front, but you don't know their pain. Proverbs 14:13 says, even in laughter, the heart may ache and joy may end in grief. Even in laughter, the heart may ache. Now, so many celebrities, athletes, actors, singers, all kinds of people of great fame and fortune, when it was all said and done, they were found to be lonely and empty, sad people, though they appeared to have it all. Some of those that had the greatest success. People like Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston, Robin Williams. These people were so depressed, so far down at the bottom of life that they took their own life. How can that be? Because what you see is not always what's really going on. Robin Williams, how could this man bring so much laughter to so many others while he himself is so depressed? Well, the verse told us right there, Proverbs 14:13, even in laughter, the heart may ache. But I'm just telling you that we don't know what other people are going through. You have walked in their shoes. You don't know what their battles are. In fact, just right here in this room tonight, there are all kinds of struggles, all kinds of battles, all kinds of pain that people are going through. And we don't even know what here our brothers and sisters are going through, much less people that we work with or we are acquainted with or we do business with or our neighbors. Verse 13, he says, surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. In vain I have washed my hands in innocence. Now, here's a really dangerous place to be, is when you start thinking that it doesn't matter that you serve God. See, the devil's really got you deceived when you start thinking that it doesn't do any good to do right. Might as well just do like everybody else. What difference does it make? And that's where this guy was. He says, my foot almost slipped. He was just at the brink. He was just at that place. He feels like it doesn't matter. He feels so cheated and jaded. He says, others lie. Others are taking advantage. Others are doing wrong, and I'm done right. Verse 14, all day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. I've done right, but I'm the one that's going through the hard time. I'm the one that's being disciplined. And you know what? There's times that all of us, one time or another, we think that we have it worse than others. We think we go through things that others don't. And when you're going through a battle, sometimes it may seem like you're the only one that's ever had to deal with that actual battle. I want to remind you of this verse. We'll come back to Psalm 73 in a few minutes, but 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now I want you to understand, when he's using the word temptation here, it's not just talking about temptation in the sense of I'm being tempted to commit this sin. Like, you know, I got mad at this person and I was tempted to cuss them out. He's also talking about being tempted to give up, being tempted to go back on your faith, being tempted. See, this is what the psalmist was talking about when he says, my foot had almost slipped. It was just almost to the point where he just said, what does it matter to serve God? What does it matter to do right? He was being tempted. And so often, this is the bigger temptation for us as believers. It's not we were so tempted to go out and do some horrible sin, but it's that we were tempted to go back on what God had put in our path to do and our purpose. We were tempted to stop obeying God and trying to please God. We were tempted to stop believing, to no longer press on. Tempted to drop out of the race. I gotta tell you, I've had so many opportunities to give up. My foot had almost slipped. Times I just wanted to walk away and run away. Some of both. Times that I felt really sorry for myself. Not recent. I just got to say, I am so blessed to be your pastor. Y'all are such sweet and kind and loving people. I thank God for you all the time, and I brag about you. But I've had some hard times. And you know what? We all go through some hard times. And I'm going to share some verses with you that don't get talked about much. I tend to do that sometimes, don't I? It's from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 8. And the NIV makes it a little simpler. He says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. Anybody got any hardship? If you don't, you will. Endure hardship as discipline. Hardship. He says, God is treating you as sons. You can understand he's talking about you daughters too. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're illegitimate children and not true sons. You are true sons and daughters. He's just making the point. We all go through hardships. And when you do, he says this needs to be your attitude. You endure hardships as discipline. If you're going through a hard time as a believer, it's just proof that you're his child and that he loves you. Don't make the mistake now of thinking that every evil attack, every attack of Satan is God's hand in your life. It is not. But you do need to realize that the scripture is very clear here. When you're going through hardship, endure hardship as discipline. That God loves you and he is disciplining you. And you say, but I'm the one that's doing what's right. I'm the one that's got it all together. I'm the one that's obeying God. I'm the one, I'm the spiritual one. Maybe God's trying to discipline some pride out of you before you're destroyed. We start sounding like Pharisees. We start bragging about how good we are. What is it I need to learn? Where did I miss it? See, sometimes we think that we don't need to learn anything. We haven't missed it. I can tell you that I've made a lot of mistakes. Still do. And God's still working on me. The strange thing is that a lot of the times when I go through hardship or I go through trouble, it doesn't seem to me that it's directly related to my stupidity or my mistakes. And so it seems unfair. I don't understand that. And yet, I know that my Heavenly Father is working on my character. He's making me into something. But we have to trust him. We can't get all sideways and upset and bitter against God. We get there. Just remember, the psalmist said, my foot almost slipped. It's during those times that we're going through such difficult, that so often God is dealing with a character flaw in us that down the road would have brought us heartache and trouble. We just need to remember, what do we say? God is good to his people. Amen. And he loves us. Now back to Psalm 73. We're going to go to verse 15. That's where we're at. He says, if I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. You see, when we feel like life has been unfair, or worse yet, that God has been unfair with us somehow, and that he has let us down, if we were to say such things, it brings reproach on the Lord, but it also is so discouraging to those that are around us. It can do such harm to our loved ones. And I would encourage you, moms and dads, don't ever say such things around your children. There's a reason that a lot of children get out of church, even though they were raised in church. Sometimes it's some of the things that mom and dad said, sometimes on the way home from church. I don't know if I like that preacher. None of y'all, I'm talking about other people, all right? But don't cast a shadow on God's character. Don't blame God. He's good to us. He's good to us. That needs to be your confession. That needs to be what you're saying. See, he said, if I had spoken thus, he said, I would have betrayed your children. Don't betray God's people by putting blame on the Lord, saying God has been unfair. Verse 16, he says, when I tried to understand all this, it was too oppressive for me. New King James says, it was too painful. See, when we try to understand it all, we try to figure it all out, we got to have all the answers, and why did this happen, and why that? Here's what the psalmist said. It was too oppressive. You see, trying to figure it all out all the time, it's not going to help you. Too painful. It's just going to cause you to feel oppressed. It's just going to upset you. That's not what we need to be asking, what we need to be looking for, trying to figure everything out. We need to remember his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You ever tried to explain something that was real complicated to a child? And sometimes you end up, you just, you know, you don't explain. You just say, because I said so. Right? I mean, you can't explain everything to a three-year-old because I said so. Sometimes it's got to be just because he said so. You don't have to understand it all. We just have to trust him. We can't understand it all. We can't have it all figured out. I know some people think that they can, and their little finite mind. You realize he knows everything? 50 billion galaxies, and he knows what's happening on some little rock that's orbiting around a star 50 billion galaxies away. You don't. It'd blow your mind if you knew what he knew. Sometimes we can't even get our spouse to understand what we're talking about, right? Some of you ladies, you try to explain your feelings to your husband, and you can tell he doesn't get it. I mean, the wheels are turning, but he's not going anywhere. You know what I mean? You know that he's not getting it, and you're just wasting your time trying to talk to him about some of those kinds of things. And you husbands, you try to explain how a car engine works to your wife. And now, ladies, if you're a car girl, that's great. I understand there's some car girls around, all right? But most of it, when your husband's trying to explain the car, I mean, it that's a waste of time. And listen, and when your child tries to explain the computer or show you how to work your new cell phone, and yet we think we can understand the mysteries of the universe. Okay. See, Job got it right when he said, there are things too wonderful for me to know. And so all I'm saying to you is that we need to get to the place where we give up on trying to have it all figured out. And instead, just trust God. Just trust him. How about this one, Proverbs 3 and 5. Could this be any clearer? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We got to trust him. Lean on him instead of leaning on your understanding. You can't figure it all out. Things don't seem right. It doesn't seem fair. But I trust the Lord because I know my God is good to me. He's good to me. Even when it seems hard, even when it seems unfair, even when it seems somebody else is always getting the promotion, God is good to me and I trust him. We want to question why, but we just need to trust him. Isaiah 26 and 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Oh, that's where the peace is. It's not in trying to figure it out. That's oppressive. No, the peace is when you just trust the Lord. All these things that trouble you, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Back to Psalm 73, verse 16. When I tried to understand this, all this was too oppressive for me, till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. He said, then I went to church. Then I got in the presence of God. And he got some new perspective. He began to see things from God's perspective. He began to see things not just in the here and now, but in eternity and what was to come. He said, then I understood their final destiny. See, it's when we get in the presence of God that we really see things as they are. He said, then I saw their final destiny. See, then we begin to see God is always just and fair. Merciful. And in the end, he's working it all together for my good. And in the end, he's going to settle all the accounts. He's going to make it right. See, some people that appear to get away with everything, I'm telling you, they're not getting away with nothing. God is a just God. He is the judge of all the earth. And as Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Yes, he will. Some of those that appear to have it all, I tell you, when this life is over, they're not going to have anything. Right. Nothing. But the truth is that a lot of the time, they don't have anything worth having now. It don't matter how much stuff you have if you have no peace. Doesn't matter how famous you are if you're depressed and have no joy. I'm just telling you, we think, oh, they've got so much, they got it so good. And sometimes even now, they don't have anything worth having. They appear to be healthy, but they're sick, sick in their soul. Verse 18, surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. Sometimes the judgment of God comes swiftly. And sometimes it seems like it will never come, but it will. It will all come to light. It will be made right. Verse 21, when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered. You ever been there? My heart was grieved, my spirit embittered. He says, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. See, we got to watch out that we don't become bitter, senseless. It's when you make all kinds of dumb mistakes. It's when you hurt other people. It's when you mess up your family. It's when you destroy potential of what God's purpose in your life and things that God wants to do in your life. When we allow bitterness to take over, oh, how it can destroy, mess up relationships. And then the psalmist says, verse 23, yet I am always with you. You know, our Lord Jesus, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But the words of the psalmist here, you see, going through difficult times, not understanding, being envious of the wicked, foot almost slipped, struggling with bitterness, resentment. But then he says, yet I am always with you. Whatever I'm going through, whatever my struggle, however hard it is for me, however messed up I happen to be at the moment, bitter, upset, yet I am always with you. I am always with you. I am always with you. Whatever I'm dealing with, I'm dealing with it with you. I am always with you. Even with my attitude and what it should be, I am always with you. You hold, he goes on, he says, you hold me by my right hand, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward, you will take me into glory. Wow, you guide me, you hold me, and afterward, you'll take me into glory. I'm always with you, whatever happens. In abundance, in need, in sickness and health, in laughing or crying, I'm always with you. He promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I think we need to say it to him. He says it to us. I won't leave you. We need to say it to him, I'm always with you, Lord. Whatever I go through, I'm with you. I ain't leaving. I ain't going anywhere else. Now listen, some of you thinking, oh, that would never happen. Do you realize how many people don't serve the Lord anymore that used to walk with God? You need to make up your mind, no matter what happens, no matter how it looks, no matter what the circumstances are, I am always with you. He's good. He's full of grace. He loves us. And he won't let us go. Verse 25, he says, whom have I in heaven but you? And on earth, and earth has nothing I desire besides you. Wow. Why should we envy the wicked? Why should we care if somebody else is prospering? There's nothing on earth that we desire besides Him. Here's the key. I'm with you. I'm with you. You see, when we really realize what that means, there's nothing on earth we have to desire, run after, seek after. Well, we're with the one who, He's our healer, He's our provider, He's our shepherd, our guide, He's our portion, He's our righteousness, our peace, our joy. He's the one that sustains us, who carries us through. He's our way maker. He's our everything. When I'm with you, there's nothing else I desire. I'm always with you. You see, now the psalmist remembers and he understands. Verse 27, those who are far from you will perish, but you destroy all who are unfaithful to you. See, God's word clears up the confusion. Verse 28, but as for me, it is good to be near God. Yes, it is. It is good to be near God. I'm glad the Bible tells us in James 4:8, if you draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. It is good to be near to God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. That's what we want to talk about. That's what we want to tell our kids. That's what we want to tell our friends and co-workers. Tell them of all the good things that God has done in our life. It is good to be near God, to be close to the Lord, to have that relationship with Him that would say, I am always with you. When you're close to Him, you got it all. I am always with you. I am always with you. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray, and I'm going to let you be dismissed.